Hey, good morning to you. This is First Light from Westwood One News. It's Tuesday, March 27th. I'm Evan Haining, and in our close-up, 60 Russians are being kicked out of the U.S. Bob Costantini explains which ones and why. Wall Street dove big time last week. Steve Kastenbaum reports on yesterday's recovery. AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore's almost the end of March DeVorecast is coming. The Dow bounces back. Facebook investigated. We'll get all of that and more from Tom Busby Business. In the NCAA, Robert Workman reports the women's Final Four is set, and UConn is doing just fine. There's some sports news, too. UConn always does fine. We'll also watch the movie Unsafe with Kevin Carr, 7 past the hour. Well, a major move by the U.S. to send Russian diplomats and intelligence officers out of the country. Here's Bob Costantini.
Evan, 60 diplomats are being expelled, most of them from the Russian embassy here. At the same time, Moscow's consulate in Seattle must shut down. It's retaliation for Great Britain's certainty that a former double agent and his daughter were poisoned with nerve toxin by Russia in Salisbury, England. The move puts the United States in league with key European allies. The White House statement concludes, the United States stands ready to cooperate to build a better relationship with Russia, but this can only happen with a change in the Russian government's behavior. The statement says the move will reduce Moscow's ability to spy on the United States.
The president has long wished for better relations with Russia, despite getting criticized from many corners. However, his spokesman Raj Shah says an attack against someone in Great Britain cannot be ignored.
It endangered not just two individuals who were poisoned, but many civilians, many innocent civilians.
You may recall just a week ago, President Trump called Vladimir Putin to congratulate him on his reelection, apparently against the wishes of advisors, and the poisoning was not brought up then. Spokesman Raj Shah saying the call was about cooperation.
He raised a number of issues, and we did secure with Putin on that call some positive interaction when it comes to nuclear arms. The president will continue diplomacy with Russia and with Putin.
A week later, the diplomatic expulsions have generally been well received in Washington political circles.
It was the right response. I agree with it. But the president of the United States has yet to respond to Russia's attacks here in the United States or asked our allies in the West to join us in imposing much more stringent sanctions against Russia for that conduct.
That's Senator Benjamin Cardin, top Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee. Russia, of course, is not taking the move lying down. The embassy here in Washington even tweeted out for suggestions about which U.S. consulate in Russia should be closed as retaliation.
And that's correspondent Bob Costantini. Wall Street looked pretty bleak last week, but took a turn for the better yesterday. Here's Steve Kastenbaum.
Evan, when the closing bell rang yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 669 points, or 2.8%. It made up more than half of the losses from last week, when the Dow fell more than 1,100 points in 2 days. The Dow had its best day since August of 2015. The broader S&P 500 was also up 2.7%. The NASDAQ rose 3.3%. So what sparked the sudden turnaround just a few days after investors seemed to be terribly spooked by the prospect of a trade war between the U.S. and China? Well, the Wall Street Journal published a report saying that U.S. and Chinese officials were negotiating ways to give American companies greater access to China's markets. The day before, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said while the U.S. was not going to ease up on tariffs, the country would also simultaneously pursue a new trade deal, and he was confident that the U.S. and China could reach an agreement. But analysts caution that this could be temporary, that trade tensions are likely to flare up again in the near future. While most stocks had a positive day Monday, Facebook's stock was down most of the day, following reports that the Federal Trade Commission wants to look into how the social media company handles users' data. There were also growing calls for founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg to testify before Congress. By the end of the day, though, Facebook's stock price made up the losses and closed essentially where it began. Evan?
Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Well, March Madness is in full swing. Robert Workman will tell us about the women of UConn and much, much more. And we'll get to the forecast. This is First Light. It's 11 minutes past the hour. Okay, it's First Light, and good morning to you. We're going to have the DvorCast in a couple of minutes, but first, 13 past the hour this Tuesday, March 27th. In 1794, Congress authorized the creation of the United States Navy. That was an easy vote, don't you think? 320,000 personnel are on active duty in the Navy, 100,000 in the Ready Reserve. Speaking of Ready Reserve, in 1860, the corkscrew was invented. 1886, Geronimo surrendered to the U.S. Army. That ended the main phase of the Apache Wars.
Long-distance information to give me Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck Berry, you know, the first long-distance telephone call was not to Memphis, Tennessee. It was made from Boston to New York in 1899. 1915, Typhoid Mary, the first healthy carrier of that disease ever identified in the U.S., was put in quarantine for the rest of her life. 1912, the first cherry blossom trees were planted in Washington. That is a gift from Japan that keeps on giving. See them now if you can. See them this spring. 1976, Washington opened its subway system. The Metro has been something of a mess in the last few years, making it a little harder to see the cherry trees. As the Metro opened, this was the number one song. December 1963, Oh What a Night, was number one for 3 weeks, and those are just some of the things that happened on past March 27th. It's 15 past the hour, and time to check the DvorCast. Good morning, Dean DeVore.
Evan, good morning. Here as we head towards this Easter weekend, as we look towards it, we're seeing the possibility of some colder weather and maybe even some snowflakes flying up in the upper plains, some rain showers in the east. We'll keep an eye on that, but look, today here on this Tuesday, we've got some chilly, dry air along the eastern seaboard, Boston, New York. We'll see increasing clouds later today, but some chilly rain pushing in from the west. Pittsburgh, Detroit today, be a wet and chilly day. Temperatures in the 40s to near 50 this afternoon. So it's not going to feel very spring-like here over the next few days, especially in the central part of the country in the northeast. Where does it feel like spring? Southeast part of the country will get warmer. New Orleans on a heat push here on the next couple of days, and so is Orlando. We've got some showers and thunderstorms back to the west where some of that warmer air is meeting some cooler air that's pushing in. So a line of showers and thunderstorms possible as you head down through St. Louis today. Could have a rumble of thunder down into parts of North Texas. San Antonio will stay warm and humid. Meanwhile, out west, a warm time for Los Angeles, Las Vegas, with some gusty winds off the mountains. Up in the Pacific Northwest here, we'll see temperatures mild and some rain in Seattle today, some showers, but other than that, pretty good weather in the Pacific Northwest.
All right, thank you, Dean. That's a look at America's weather. Here's the latest from the newsroom. The arrival of a special train in Beijing, China, and heavy security at a guest house where prominent North Koreans have stayed are raising speculation that Kim Jong-un is making his first visit to China as leader of North Korea. Well, there's more controversy for Facebook after news that its Android app has been collecting call and text histories. Now, this story highlights the marked differences between the Google Android and Apple iOS software when it comes to privacy. The White House is disputing adult film performer Stormy Daniels' claim that she was threatened to keep quiet over her alleged affair with Donald Trump and says the president continues to deny the relationship. Also, Daniels is suing Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, for defamation. The grandmother of an unarmed black man killed by Sacramento police is calling for changes in the way police confront suspects. Her unarmed grandson, 22-year-old Stephen Clark, was shot 20 times in her backyard March 18th. And Texas and more than a dozen other states led by Republican governors are supporting the Trump administration in its lawsuit over California's so-called sanctuary laws that protect people who are in the U.S. illegally but who have not committed crimes. Those are some of the stories we're following on First Light today. 18 past and sports time, and Robert Workman, you got a lot to tell us today, don't you?
Indeed, there's plenty going on this time of year. Evan, in the NBA on Monday, the Celtics shaded the Suns 102-94, 23 for Jason Tatum. Kyrie Irving still out after knee surgery on Saturday, but Boston's won four in a row without him, while Phoenix has dropped its last 12 straight, trying to get more of those ping pong balls for the draft. 76ers dunked the Nuggets 123-104 for their seventh win in a row. Philadelphia celebrated the return of last year's number one overall draft pick, Markelle Fultz, playing for the first time since October after a shoulder injury, just his fifth game of the year. He had 10 points and 8 assists, and he had the crowd at Wells Fargo Center chanting, "Fultz, Fultz!" Although he said after the game that he thought they were calling for Nick Foles, the Eagles Super Bowl-winning quarterback. When he finally figured it out, it was like, hey, that's pretty cool. Grizzlies got by the Timberwolves 101-93. He didn't say it in that voice. Just their second wing in the last 25. But a big loss for Minnesota that drops them behind Utah into eighth place in the West. Only eight teams make the playoffs, you know. Pistons topped the Lakers 112-106, eliminating L.A. from the playoff chase. Detroit still trying to catch Miami for that last spot in the East. And the Hornets are still alive. They buzzed the Knicks 137-128 in overtime. Kemba Walker had 31 points, 11 of those in OT. NHL on Monday, the Capitals clipped the Rangers 4-2 for their fourth win in a row. Alex Ovechkin put in goal number 45. That's the most in the NHL this year. Coyotes grounded the Lightning, the East 4-1. The East leaders playing without Steven Stamkos, but they already have a playoff spot in hand, so just getting him ready for that postseason. Golden Knights rocked the Avalanche 4-1 to clinch a playoff berth. The last time an expansion team made the NHL playoffs was 1968. That was the year the NHL expanded by six teams, so four of them had to make it. No other expansion team since then had made it until last night. Sabres parried the Maple Leafs 3-2. Panthers shut out the Islanders 3-0. Hurricanes blew by the Senators 4-1. Canadians beat the Red Wings 4-2. Sharks nipped the Blackhawks 4-3 in a shootout, and the Kings snuffed out the Flames by a count of 3-0. In the college basketball, the NCAA Final Four, two regional number one seeds, a number three, and Cinderella wearing a size 11 sneaker. Final Four in San Antonio on Saturday night, South Region 11 seed Loyola Chicago versus West number three Michigan in the first game, and then the Midwest top seed and champ Kansas versus Villanova, number one in the East going in and coming out. The national championship game is next Monday. Women's NCAA tournament. Last night, Connecticut crushed defending champion South Carolina 94-65 in Albany, and Notre Dame ousted Oregon 84-74 in Spokane. Those were regional finals, so the Final Four for the women is in Columbus on Friday night, and it's all number one seeds. Louisville and Mississippi State in the first game, UConn and the Fighting Irish in the nightcap. The women's championship game is this coming Sunday. NIT semifinal matchups tonight at Madison Square Garden in New York. Western Kentucky and Utah play in the early game, Penn State against Mississippi State in the second one, and the final will be Thursday night at MSG. CBI tournament, best of three finals. They played game one last night. The San Francisco Dons topped North Texas 72-62 in San Francisco. Dons led by as many as 18 in the first half. Game two tomorrow night in Denton, Texas, where the Mean Green plays. That's a little bit north of Dallas. If they need game three, that'll be in Denton, Texas as well. CIT semifinals tomorrow night, Illinois-Chicago at Liberty. Flames versus Flames in that one in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Sam Houston State at Northern Colorado. That'll go at it in Greeley, Colorado there. Opening day for baseball on Thursday. All 30 teams for the first time since 1968, all playing at the same time. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race in Martinsville, Virginia. Pushed back a day due to snow. Worth the wait for Clint Bowyer. His first win in 5.5 years. That's Tuesday Sports.
Hey, wait, Robert. The fans are saying, go Flames, go Flames. And both teams are the Flames?
Both teams are the Flames.
That's got to be confusing.
And Liberty.
Yeah, well, now the players don't know whether to go or wait and let the other guys win. All right, anyway, thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
We're going to check on money. We're going to check a movie called Unsafe. It's all coming up on First Light. It's 22 past. This is First Light. Good morning to you. Thank you for listening. Happy to have you here. AAA puts the price of regular gas at $2.62 a gallon nationwide this spring break. It's $2.58 in Florida, $2.59 in Nebraska, which is not a big spring break state. For more on our money, good morning, Tom Busby.
Good morning, Evan. Last week, a huge sell-off on Wall Street on worries about a trade war with China, but on word that the U.S. is now conducting talks with China, hoping to avert that trade war, The Dow made back half of last week's losses just on Monday, up 669 points, its biggest point gain in a decade. The Nasdaq surging 227 points higher. The Federal Trade Commission now formally investigating Facebook over how it safeguards user data. CEO Tim Cook of Apple will be at a charter high school in Chicago today, expected to unveil lower-priced iPads and software aimed at school kids. Computer networking giant Cisco Systems says it'll donate $50 million over the next 5 years to help address the growing homelessness problem in Silicon Valley's Santa Clara County. Remington, which filed for bankruptcy over the weekend, already getting a lifeline of $300 million in new funding. And Wall Street bankers just got their year-end bonuses, the average payout $184,000.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. 25 passed on First Light and entertainment editor Kevin Carr. Tell us about the movie Unsafe. What's in it?
Well, this is directed by Steven Soderbergh, who's best known popularly for doing movies like the Ocean's films, Ocean 11, 12, and 13. And he's going back to his independent roots. This is a small film about a woman who is being stalked, and she actually moves from one city to another and then feels her stalkers coming after her there. And she goes and talks to a psychologist and gets committed in a mental institution for observation. And then while she's there, she's feeling like she's being held with against her will. Claire Foy from The Crown stars in it, and she really carries the film. It's quite disturbing if either you've spent some time in an institution, or in particular, if you've had a loved one who's been in an institution or a home or a nursing home or something like that, where you feel that they're not getting the care they deserve and maybe are getting neglected. It really cuts close to the bone.
Well, Claire Foy is a great actress. The other thing about this, so technically, apparently, this is kind of a weirdie here.
Well, yeah, Soderbergh always tries to do something different, does a lot with digital technology, and he shot this on an iPhone. Now, of course, he had a professional cinematographer and professional lenses, and it certainly doesn't hurt to have Claire Foy in front of the camera. But in terms of the accessibility for independent filmmakers, it really opens up a new world.
Do you recommend it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, maybe not if you're a little bit squeamish or scared, because it does play like a horror movie and it gets very dark. But if you want to see something a little bit disturbing and different, Unsane is definitely worth checking out.
All right. Thanks, Kevin Carr. More of him at fatguysatthemovies.com. It's First Light. It's 27 past. Couple of birthdays real quick on First Light. Director Quentin Tarantino, 55. Mariah Carey, 48. Singer Fergie, 43. Actor Michael York is 76. And First Light is produced by David O'Zeal, engineered by the legendary Joe Ardinger. I'm Evan Haining, and First Light is a production of Westwood One News.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Good morning. This is First Light from Westwood One News. I'm Evan Haining. It's 32 past. Time to call in this Tuesday, March 27th. Let's talk about Facebook and Cambridge Analytica. Now, if you don't know a lot about Cambridge Analytica, don't be afraid. There's plenty to talk about on Facebook. And what we're going to talk about is how it uses your information. Cambridge Analytica got a whole bunch of it and used it for the Donald Trump campaign. It's not just Donald Trump. It could have been used by Democrats, maybe was used by Democrats. We'll find out one of these days. The problem is that all of our personal information is out there. It is so accessible. You ever take those personality tests online? You know, which Star Wars character are you? Don't do that. Don't do that. That goes into your permanent file like you were a first grader. So the number to call is 800-736-3666. Yes, more internet privacy today. But first, the forecast.
Evan, good morning. Both coasts are in pretty good shape, with the exception of the Pacific Northwest. We've got some showers there. We've got some chilly temperatures that we'll have to watch here over the next couple of days in the northern plains. Today in Atlanta, clouds for the most part, the high getting up to 58. Some rain this morning in Chicago, cloudy, kind of chilly, high in the lower 50s. Las Vegas, a cool day with sunshine, the high getting up to about 68 degrees. Minneapolis, clouds, some sunny breaks, milder near 50 this afternoon. Seattle, some rain or drizzle, highs in the low 50s, and then clouds increasing near 50 in Washington, D.C. today. Your local forecast anytime you need it on your AccuWeather.com app. Evan, have a great day.
And you too, Dean DeVore. Okay, everybody, it's like we have a barcode on our neck that says you are the product. That's what we're talking about today on First Light. This is First Light, and I'm Evan Haining, First Light, Westwood One News. We're talking about Facebook today, 800-736-3666. Actually, there's a lot to talk about, just a couple of things. We'll try to keep, you know, you can say what you want, but here's what I can say. The Federal Trade Commission confirmed news reports on Monday that it is investigating Facebook, and the attorneys general for 37 U.S. states and territories want to know how Facebook monitored what app developers did with data collected on Facebook users, and whether Facebook had safeguards to prevent misuse. Now, Facebook's privacy practices have come under fire, of course, after the Trump-affiliated consulting firm Cambridge Analytica got data on millions of Facebook users. That included information on the friends of people who had downloaded a psychological quiz app, even though those friends had not given explicit consent to sharing. You know what the rule is these days. You don't give consent. You have to opt out. In other words, they get to reach in your pocket. You have to say, no, please, I don't want my pocket picked. Oh, all right, then we'll do that. What did the senator, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, he said, that's like going to a restaurant and paying extra to have the waiter not spit on your steak. Now, Facebook is also facing questions about reports that it collected years of contact names and phone numbers and call lengths and information about text messages from Android users. Facebook says this is to improve people's experiences across Facebook. Yeah, right. No, it isn't. It's like this call is being recorded to ensure quality. No, it isn't. It may be legal protection in case you say, oh, yeah, they did a great job putting on my new tires, and then all of a sudden the tires go bad, and they say, well, but you agreed right here. You said, right, we did a good job. And I resent the current practice of having, of doing all of the product research for businesses. I mean, why should we do their market research for them and tell them if they did a good job on a scale of 1 to 10? Why is that our job? There are lots of things to resent about the online world, and now Facebook is getting some of this. It's interesting that the Europeans are ahead of us. European officials have been investigating, but they also have things like the right to be forgotten. So over there, you can have your record kind of wiped clean, but over here, you know, those pictures you're folks took of you when you were 5 years old, those are going to be around for the next 150 years unless the laws change. And someone just pointed out an interesting thing. People think of all the Silicon Valley zillionaires and digital dynasties as these big liberals. But, you know, if Democrats get elected, you know they're going to clamp down on these people much, much more than the current members of the Federal Trade Commission. They are going to put a hitch in their get-along and say, wait a minute, you can't do that, you can't do that, and they're going to feel restrictions. So anyway, I want you to call, please. We have Jason, we have Steve, and we have a phone number, 800-736-3666, 800-736-3666. And here's more on Facebook from our Jim Roop.
Evan, you may recall that last week when he was asked in a TV interview if he'd testify before Congress about the Cambridge Analytica data breach, Zuckerberg said,
I'm happy to if it's the right thing to do.
What he meant by that, he explained, is that first, testifying before Congress is not a media opportunity, and let's face it, if he sits before a committee, there will be media present. And secondly, he said,
so what we try to do is send the person at Facebook who will have the most knowledge about what Congress is trying to learn. So if that's me, then I am happy to go.
Whether he has the most knowledge at his company about data security or not, he is the face of Facebook, so Congress wants to talk with him. He, along with Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, and Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, they've all been invited to sit before the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on data security and answer some questions. Zuckerberg will surely be asked more about the Cambridge Analytica scandal, as well as past, present, and future policies in regard to data privacy and protecting user information. He already said the company has taken steps, such as developing tools so users can shut off apps which might be mining their information, and he's increasing his security personnel.
We're going to have 20,000 people working on security and content review in this company by the end of this year. We have about 15,000 people working on security and content review now. So I think the combination of building the right tools to identify different patterns across all of our products and having people to review them at the scale and speed that we need is going to be a good formula.
Zuckerberg has also been asked to testify before both the House and the Senate Commerce Committees. It's something he and the other big two are going to have to do if this data privacy issue is ever going to be secured. Evan?
All right. Thank you, Jim Roop, correspondent Jim Roop. Once again, 800-736-3666. It's First Light. It's 42 past. We'll go right to the phones. Hey, there we go. No, don't check your Facebook. Check your blood pressure. This is First Light, 44 minutes past, 800-736-3666. Facebook is as leaky as a sieve. It's interesting. There is a writer I really enjoy, Martin Amis. He has a new book of essays, and in one of them he says, a political consultant recently told me there is no longer any downside to lying. So let's see how you feel about it all. We're going to start with Jason in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Good morning. You're on First Light, Jason.
Good morning. I don't know. There's a lot of outrage about this recent data breach thing, and I think a lot of that's probably fueled by people ticked off that Trump actually got into the White House. If you look back, though, I think the last Obama cycle, when he got reelected, I think they were doing a lot of the similar stuff as far as grassroots, like mining data and trying to correlate the campaign to all the users.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jason, you're right. This is not a right-left thing. This is a seeky lack of privacy. Everybody's getting their life collated and saved on digital files thing. You're right.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add real quick is, do you remember a few years back, this must have been within the last 5 years, Facebook was manipulating users' status updates. Certain people would only get positive news feed stuff, and other people would get, like, depressing and downer news, like, yeah. And they would intentionally block that from the users, and that should have caused a lot of outrage. It did back then, but it kind of went away.
Yeah, so, yeah. They wanted to see how well they could manipulate emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. So we definitely need Congress to look at the stuff, regulate it. And I think Facebook needs some competition. I think somebody else should step up with a social media site. Maybe a stripped-down version of Facebook for, like, the older generation and people that just don't want all these games and apps and stuff prying at them.
There you go. Hey, great. Thank you, Jason. Great call. It's Steve's turn. Hi, you, Steve in Charleston. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Evan. I'm doing well. I'm ready for warm weather, though. Good grief. Hey, listen, I'm not so sure. Facebook has a lot of responsibility here, and people should be angry. But in the end, I'm not so sure there's much we can do about, data mining. I have a friend and a former coworker. We still play golf together. This used to be his job in the government. He monitored computers and what people did and didn't do. And, of course, if anything was subversive or racist or, pornography related on there. I mean, he knew it. He knew how to get. He told me, I can get in anybody's computer. He's sworn not to. He's got a top secret clearance. In fact, he's working the Zumwalt class destroyer software right now. That's what he does in another job. Okay. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is, if you're in cyberspace, if you're in the IT world, somebody can get your information. Now, when I go on a new website or into a new program and they give you that long, small print, lengthy terms of use or user agreement, how many of us really read that thing before we click that button at the bottom and says, I accept?
Yeah, nobody.
Not many. And let me tell you, there's a lot we agree to. Now, I'm not saying we agree to our privacy being breached, but still, people are so anxious to put their business out there. I don't know why, And I'm if you're a lady, don't get mad, but I used to be on Facebook a lot, and more, and my wife included. She is so anxious to tell people where she shops, what she bought, when she did it, what movie show she went to. And let me tell you, the next morning, that afternoon, when you open your Yahoo email, on the right-hand side of that thing is going to be advertisements in regard to everything you just talked about on Facebook.
See,
it's
on the,
there, it's a marketing scheme. It's
and the other thing, Steve, is how many of your friends do you look and see what movies they went to, what they ate last night, what kind of dress they wore, what suit they like? I don't look at that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. I know that when I put it on about myself, it is just to collect information on me.
It's the same thing when you use those discount cards at the grocery store. Yep. And that's linked most of the time you'll put an email account. You use that thing, let me tell you, you go back to your computer, within a day or two, they're advertising that same stuff right on the right side of you. I'll have to say Gmail is better about it. I'm not promoting any Gmail, but they're just better about it. People are just too anxious to put their information out there, and you are an easy target. It's as simple as that.
Okay, well, one thing, we cannot trust you, Steve, because you play golf. That means you go outdoors, and people who go outdoors are not, they're way too critical of the digital community. You're supposed to be inside of your computer all day long. But I thank you for your call. Going to John, Mount Vernon, Ohio. Hi.
Yeah, hey, Evan. Look, you know, I live in Amish country, Ohio, and the irony of calling from a smartphone is not lost on me. But, you know, more and more I find myself getting jealous of the people that live around me. I mean, this is, you know, for the most part, they're off the grid. This just does not affect them at all, and it must be kind of nice. But, I find nowadays, if you're a conspiracy theory guy like me, and I'm not talking out there whack, but I'm talking, you know, within the realm of possibility type of conspiracy theory.
Sure,
it's a good time to be alive. I feel like once every month or two, we're being vindicated here.
Yeah.
I've been saying for over a decade, Facebook is a back channel to the CIA and the NSA. And what I want to know is, where do you think this is going? Is this story going to get squashed by something bigger, or is this going to expose maybe more of the swamp that, you know, Donald Trump, Rand Paul, those guys are trying to drain? Where do you think this is headed?
You know, it's hard to tell. And the thing is, anybody can get it. And this may sound controversial to you, but I think I am more concerned with companies doing this and the government doing this. And the reason is the government's job is to protect me, allegedly, even though it doesn't always, right? But the job of Facebook is simply to make money. And they don't have the responsibility, or at least the stated responsibility, that the government does. But then, of course, you find out that all of these companies, yes, they do have back channels to the government. So it's a real knotty problem. I don't think we're going to solve it. I think the only defense we have is to be aware of it and tell our kids about it and realize it and see every time one of those stupid little personality tests pops up, nobody's going to read the answers. Nobody cares. And so leave it alone. Go away. You know, get outdoors. Play some golf with Steve in South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I would do that in a heartbeat if I wasn't working all the time. But absolutely. You got to get out there and enjoy life. And, you know, I haven't been on Facebook in 6 years. When I used to tell people I wasn't on Facebook anymore, I'd get some strange looks. Now when you say that, people are like, oh, really? That's cool. You know, you might be on the front wave of something there.
Wow. See, and here I am attacking Facebook, and you're a better man than I am because I just checked it 15 minutes ago. All right. Hey, thank you, John. Thanks for your call this morning. Our number, 800-736-3666. Going to try to get everybody we have in. John in Belleville, Illinois, you're on First Light.
Yeah. So, hey, how you doing there, Evan? Hello?
Hi. You're right here.
Yeah, I'll ask you a question. What is the sense of these social websites like Facebook? If they gather information on individuals, then what is it their role to play to give to the government or aid in, let's say, like a foreign government to affect the elections? I mean, do they know that they're doing this as far as Facebook and these other social websites? And then another thing is, if social media is used to track, like, say, terrorists, when the guy that shot the Parkland, you know, the 17 people in Florida, how come they couldn't use that to track all these terrorists or these websites that they post their what they're going to do, but they can't track the shooters, but they can keep a track of your information as far as like personal information if you're not considered a threat to the government. Can you explain that to me?
No, I sure can't. And, you know, the thing is, I think Facebook has the largest collection of facial recognition of anything, way more than East Germany had, way more than Russia has. They have everybody's faces, and they can track them now. And every once in a while, we hear a great thing. The guy in Parkland, bam, they found him fast. But what's all this other stuff for? It's a real mess. It's a real mess. Hey, thank you, John. It's Mark in Seattle. You're on First Light.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
This is a great subject. You're talking about companies and stuff. I just signed up for the USP app, and I won't tell you how much I hate this company and for other reasons. Anyway, on their agreement, when you hit, you agree to let them use your personal information for marketing purposes, and then the one above it, you agreed to blah, blah, blah. I didn't hit the one below it, the use their information to use against me or for sale. They wouldn't let me use their app if I didn't give them that information. I could not use their app to track a package.
That's right. So that's right. Yeah, you have to give it to them or it won't work. You know, another thing, Mark, there are lots and lots of apps on our smartphones. And there was a fabulous story on this a few years ago. Before you even activate these things, they are tracking you. They found a number of apps that are tracking the phone numbers you use, are using your GPS to follow you, and you have not even turned it on for the first time.
Yeah, but you can turn those off. What I've learned to do now is only use Facebook on my phone, because then you don't get all those ads on the side, like if you got a big screen. And then before I go into a movie or a mall, I turn my phone off.
Okay. Well, I never use my Facebook on my phone. I use my Facebook at work because I don't want it to read all the phone numbers of all my friends. But if it's working for you, I'm glad.
I'm not too worried about that. I'm 56. I don't got a fabulous life. But as far as stuff like that, you know, but it's just the idea that UPS, FedEx, I'm not plugging them, but FedEx is a much better company. They did not ask for any of that stuff, and I'm able to use their app.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Mark. I want to squeeze Roger in here. Roger, you are in Pontiac, Illinois. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't see why people are getting so upset. Banks and grocery stores and stores and malls have been doing this for years with your information. You can't get a loan without signing a piece of paper that says they've been selling your information for years. And I don't feel sorry for anybody that does this when you post everything but your bowel movements on Facebook to send it out to the entire world. You deserve what you get. And there is no privacy. When they post this stuff, their privacy's gone.
You know, Roger, there was a great website. There was a great website, and it tracked people talking about being on vacation. It was, and they would send out a thing saying, okay, here's how to rob you. Right now, you are in Utah. Your apartment's in New York. And it was their way of alerting people that, you know, you are under surveillance all the time. Anyway, great calls today. Thank you all so much. This is First Light. It's 4 minutes before the hour. FirstLightRadio at gmail.com is our email address. One time I remember a fellow friend talk show host pointing out that there were polls you could take and you paid to give your opinion. He said that's like taking a handful of change and flushing it down the toilet. Remember, when you go online and you give information on one of these personality things, they are using that and reselling that. You are the product. That's what's being sold. You are. First Light, produced by David O'Zeal, engineered by the legendary Joe Ardinger. I'm Evan Haining, and First Light is a production of Westwood One News.